this morning's sermon, the title is Immigration in Light of the Bible. Immigration in Light of the Bible. And primarily, we're going to be looking at the immigration policy, some of the policies and the system that is put in place in the United States of America. Now, our text here in Exodus chapter number 22, we're going to get to in just a moment. But of course, I'm preaching on this now because this is becoming more and more of a hot topic lately. If someone possesses a television, I'm sure that they see it constantly. You know, the majority of people are at least on some social platform. And I know on social media platforms, I see it across, you know, my Facebook thread just constantly. Just people are discussing this as far as when it comes to politics over and over and over again. This is basically when it comes to politics right now. This is one of the main discussions. This was one of the deciding factors, if you will, of the last presidential debate. Right? And here in the United States of America, we have two parties. We have two primary parties, let me say that. There are other parties, of course, but there are really only two parties. The Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And let me reword what I just said a moment ago. There's really only one party, because these people are exactly the same. But if someone has a preconceived idea when they come to these types of subjects or whatever issue that it may be, they need to put that away when they come to the Bible.
Right.
Because we're taught things constantly. We're taught things from all different types of sources, whether it be school, public schools growing up, whether it be our parents, whether it be, you know, a Republican Party platform, a Democratic Party platform, the Constitution, whatever it may be. But when you come to the Bible, God's Word is truth. I don't derive what I believe from the Constitution of the United States. That's not where I find truth. I don't derive what I believe from the Bill of Rights. I think that there are a lot of great principles that our country was founded upon. I think our country has went downhill massively. But I do not derive truth from this nation. I am a Christian far, far before I am an American.
Right.
Far before I'm an American.
Amen.
And if the United States of America is wrong about a political issue, which they're wrong about most, let me go ahead and say that. If they're wrong about that issue, if they say something different than what the Bible says on an issue, then the United States of America is wrong and the Bible's right. It doesn't matter what nation it is. I don't care if you live in Russia, China, you know, Cambodia, whatever. It doesn't matter. A large nation, a small nation, it doesn't matter. If you are lockstep with a platform, whether it be Republican, Democrat, whatever it may be, of any political party, of any throughout history ever, you're going to be majorly wrong. Let me just say that, you know, pretty much carte blanche. Because the wisdom of this world is contrary to God's.
Right.
Always. It always is. Now, thankfully, America really being the only exception to that, there was a time when there were a lot of laws in our nation that were based upon the Bible. And what we're going to look at today, I didn't actually record a lot of the history in here. I've looked over it. But immigration policies have changed drastically throughout time. And in the beginning of our history of the United States of America, they were much more similar to the Bible's immigration policies. Because the immigration policies of the United States today are very contrary to the Bible. And we're going to see that. That's why we're looking at immigration policies, the United States immigration policies, in light of the Bible. Now, I'm not sure if you're very familiar with how it works. If someone wanted to become a U.S. citizen, you may not know a lot of people that are interested in becoming a U.S. citizen or foreigners. But I'm going to give you a really quick rundown on the different phases and actually how it works in our country if someone is interested in becoming a citizen or if someone is just interested in just immigrating. Let's start with that. If someone's just, they're a foreigner, the Bible's word is a stranger. Instead of saying foreigner, the Bible will say stranger, or sometimes it will say alien, right? Just like we will refer to someone today as an illegal alien if they are here and they're not a citizen and they're not here legally on some sort of green card or visa. And that's what I'm going to discuss right now. So if someone wanted to immigrate, it would start with a visa. Now, there are 31 different types of visas. The most common is a work visa. There are, of course, religious visas. Very rarely will someone be given a green card immediately. But the way that they get into the country is they just apply for a visa, whatever that reason may be. So if their job is doing some sort of work here, sometimes for Olympics, whatever it may be, sports, a sports event, they can apply for a visa and be accepted. Now, these visas have different time limits. Some may be 6 months, some may be 3 months. They have different time limits. And I'm not exactly sure all of the increments, but they expire. They are not permanent is the point, okay? So anyone that's going to come to the country, they have to have a visa. They have to have a visa. In the rare exception, they are automatically given a green card. That's the next step. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what a green card is, but a green card in the United States of America is basically a card that represents permanent residency. That's what a green card is. It's indefinite residency. So you can basically, the card just represents that you can just stay here permanently. There are caveats, though. If you break certain laws, if I break a law as a homeborn citizen of the United States of America, I just go to jail or prison or what have you, and then I'm released and I go home, right? Well, there are particular laws, and I'm not sure what they are. You can look that up. It's outside the scope of what I'm interested in preaching this morning. But there are particular laws that if you break these laws and you have your green card, you are then deported, and you are not given another opportunity to come back. You're kicked out of the nation of the United States of America, and you are not allowed to come back. So it starts with the visa, then it goes to a green card. Now, a green card is, like I said, just permanent residency. You are allowed to live here permanently, but that does not make you a citizen of the United States. There are still differences, and you know, some of the differences are things that I don't agree with either. Like, I don't think that we should have welfare, things like that, right? These are other things that are outside of that, right? But the next step after a green card is what's called naturalization. Now, that is a person that is a U.S. citizen. They're an immigrant that came to the nation, and then they became an official U.S. citizen just as much as I'm a U.S. citizen, just as much as you're a U.S. citizen. That is the third step. That person, they've been naturalized, is what that's called. They have full American citizenship. Now, primarily, the argument in the United States of America when it comes to this debate on the foreigner or the stranger and immigration is on those that are here illegally. And that's what I'm going to be discussing this morning. A lot of people end up coming on their work visa, and they have, and I know someone personally who did this, and I'm of course not going to say their name, but they came, Brother Josh just glanced at the camera. 6 months they were here, or you know, they're supposed to be here for 6 months or something along those lines, and then they stayed for like 2 years or something along those lines. You know, I don't know the exact time frame. And now, when you end up leaving, they obviously find out, unless you were to like sneak across the border, right? They end up finding out that you were here long past your visa, and then there are penalties. If it's over like a year, if you're here a year longer than your visa when it expired, since your visa expired, then you're not allowed to come back to the United States for 10 years. That's pretty crazy. If you're here longer than 3 months or something, I believe, or if you're here less than 3 months, it is a year. You're not allowed to come back to the United States. You're not allowed to apply for another visa for 3 months, I believe it is. It may be 3 years, but I believe it's in the months. It's not very long when you're here only for 3 months longer. So those are the types of people. You know, what happens is people come on work visas. If you read like stories and stuff, people come on a work visa, a school visa, whatever it may be, foreign exchange students, right? You've heard of those? They're on a school visa. So they come here, they're from a foreign country, and they come here, and then what happens is they maybe fall in love or something, or they have an opportunity to get a job like under the table, whatever it may be that's a good job. They have some reason that compels them personally that they decide, hey, I'm just going to stay. And then these people end up staying, and now the question of the debate comes to, what do we do with these people? What should the laws be in our country for these people that are here illegally, once they're caught or whatever it may be, okay? Now, when you hear a Baptist, when you hear a Christian, just any independent fundamental Baptist talk about this particular subject, it always goes something like, ship them back to Mexico, or kick those boys back to Afghan, or whatever it may be, wherever it's from, right? And the majority are from Mexico. That's a fact, because that's where our border is. And we have real borders, and they've been, you know, renovated and re reinstalled multiple times. We have borders on the land, where our continental U.S. grounds end and Mexico begins. There are borders there, obviously, preventing people from coming. Now, there's the drive to build a wall. That's what a lot of people are saying, too. And that's the other thing that people will say, right? All the Baptists, all the conservative Baptists and the independent Baptists are all like, let's build that wall, aren't they? Haven't you heard that multiple times? I'm seeing people on Facebook. I'm hearing people. You know, when I was back in Northern Kentucky, I'm talking to people that say they're conservative Christians. This is their point of view. This is what they believe that you know, we should believe as Christians. And a lot of times people will try to support their views even from the Bible when it comes to this. But we're going to look at clear scriptures. When God instituted his nation, let's look and see how he said to treat those that come to our nation. Those that flee for refuge to our country. Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's get our views from the Bible, okay? I don't care what a Republican believes. I don't care what a libertarian believes. I don't care what anybody believes. There are politicians that I've liked in the past, but you know what? It really, when they disagree with the Bible, I disagree with them. I don't care if my dad, well, I don't care if my dad believes. If he disagrees with the Bible, I disagree with him. It doesn't matter who it is the point. If anyone disagrees with God, I agree with God and not them. That should be your attitude as a Christian. And I say this because this is sensitive to a lot of people. But you know what? We're going to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And when we walk away, if you're a Christian, you should believe what the Bible teaches. Look here in Exodus chapter number 22, verse number 21. The Bible deals with how we should treat the stranger. We're going to look at a few of these verses. Chapter number 22, verse number 21, our opening text, it says this: Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him. And then it says, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So right there we have a plain verse that tells us, just to start off with, do not vex. That's like afflict, right? Don't afflict them. Don't do harm to them. Don't mistreat them, if you will, just in a general sense. Do not vex the stranger or the foreigner. And then it says, nor oppress him. So don't hold him down. Don't, you know, pay him less money. Don't do things where you are mistreating him. Let's go to another passage here. Go to Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 9. One point that I want to make early on here, and we're going to see this repeatedly in these next couple of verses, is the reason why you should not vex the stranger or oppress him was, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Did you notice that? Why? Because you, talking to the Israelites, you were strangers at one time. You were strangers at one time in the land of Egypt. And they knew what it was like to be oppressed. They knew what it was like when someone vexed them and mistreated them. Flip over one page, as I said, one chapter to Exodus chapter number 23. We'll see this even more here. Look at verse number 9. Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 9. It says, also thou shalt not oppress a stranger. So this is just one chapter away. For ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So notice both times when he tells the Israelite, don't vex, don't oppress, don't mistreat the stranger or the foreigner, those that come to your country that are not, you know, originally homeborn in your country, don't mistreat them. Don't vex them. And what's the reason why? Because you were a stranger at one point. Because you yourself were a stranger in the past. And then he even says, more clearly here, he says, you know the heart of a stranger. You know what he's saying? It's like, you know what it's like on the inside to be a stranger. You know what it's like to be mistreated when you were a foreigner. To be vexed. And they knew full well what it was like. They were actually bondage. They were in slavery where they were being beaten. They were being forced to do labor that brought them no profit, period. They were working and only receiving the same wages every single day or whatever they were given. Not even really technically wages, just food and somewhere to live just so that they could keep these people alive was the only reason why, you know, the Egyptians were doing that. They weren't receiving any wages, right? So they knew full well what it's like to be mistreated as a stranger and as a foreigner. Now, let me say this in the beginning. A part of the hypocrisy when people take the position of kick those Mexicans out of here or kick those Muslims out of here is just like God told Israel, you were a stranger at one time. Every single person that lives in the United States of America immigrated here at one point. Maybe not that person specifically, but their family did. Every single person in the United States of America immigrated here at one point. I don't know if you've ever studied your genealogy, but you didn't come back to some other couple, you know, other than Adam and Eve here in the United States. You came from Western Europe, you came from Eastern Europe, you came from the Middle East, and your family got on a boat and got on a ship and sailed here from some other country and from some other nation. And you know what? At that time, the United States allowed you to come here, didn't they? And I guarantee that now the freedoms that you have and the fact that you were able to grow up in a Christian nation, I guarantee that you're thankful for that, aren't you?
Amen.
But then all of a sudden you want to look down on other people that want to come here. You want to look down on the stranger and you want to vex the stranger and say they shouldn't be allowed. You know the heart of a stranger. Maybe not personally, but you can relate to that.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's Native Americans. They weren't, you know, they haven't just been here for all eternity. You know, they came from, you know, the Bering Strait up where Russia is. They migrated at one point there. They migrated here at one point. Wherever, whatever the truth is about it, they weren't, you know, the first Native American wasn't just born here. They came here too. Everyone migrated. Every single person that has ever lived in any nation has migrated or immigrated to that nation. There's no way around it. So, just this attitude or just the hypocrisy of looking down at those of other nations when they want to come to your nation is ridiculous. You didn't do anything to be born in this nation in the first place. You were just lucky enough that your family chose to move here.
That's right.
You're just lucky enough that your family at some point decided to pack up and move to the United States of America. You did nothing about that.
Right.
And you know what? Your family, who actually did the work and decided to make that decision, they came here and they were lucky enough at that time to be let in, which they should have been. The Bible, here's the thing, let me start off with this too. The Bible discusses nothing of borders. As far as the nation, Old Testament nation of Israel, and I'll get into slight exceptions at the very, very end, but by and large, the Bible, God did not build borders around the nation of Israel. God built gates around the city where the king lived and things like that. But there were not these big walls that just like didn't allow anyone to come in. You know what God says about foreigners? Don't vex them. You know what? They're there. Did he say kick them out? No. He said don't oppress them. What is he saying? Don't mistreat them. So your attitude towards a foreigner should be that I'm not going to mistreat this guy.
Right.
I'm going to make sure that I'm nice to this guy.
Right.
I'm going to make sure that I don't mistreat him. Because you know what? He has just as much a right to be here as you do.
Amen.
That's a fact. I don't care what the United States of America says. Nations come and nations go.
Right.
And if this world continues on for hundreds of years, the United States of America won't even be ruling here probably anymore.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. They're like an empire. They'll be gone and there'll be another nation here. And then that nation, I guess, just has the right for this country. It's ridiculous. This attitude of, oh, I just have the right to be here and they don't have the right to be. That is retarded and it's stupid and it's ridiculous. And you know what? It's not a Christian attitude.
Right.
And if you want to believe that, then you just go right out and say, hey, I know the Bible says something different, but I think this. Because that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And you know what? The Bible teaches to be charitable. The Bible teaches to love people. And who needs to be loved more than someone who's already in, you know, in pain? Or the whole reason why people come is because they're seeking a better life.
Right.
They're seeking, you know, a refugee. That's why. It's because they need something better. That's the reason why people come here. That's the majority of people that come here.
Right.
They're looking for a better life. They live in a country that's more poor. They live in a country where they don't have all the good opportunities. And how dare you say that that person shouldn't be able to seek refuge somewhere else. And you know what? Maybe a lot of these people that have been kicked out of our countries, a lot of these maybe Hispanics or whatever they may be, they might have been able to come here and be influenced by Christianity. They might have been able to come here and they might have had somebody preach the gospel to them. But because you just had these stupid ideas, these selfish ideas, and you're just so proud to be an American, and only you can be here, they got kicked out and didn't have the opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, a lot of people that are here today, everyone that is here today, you received the gospel at one point because you live in the United States of America, and it's a heavily influenced Christian country,
right.
By and large in comparison to other nations. Other nations don't have the gospel preached as freely as we do. I'm thankful for all of the freedoms that I have in this nation. Right. I'm thankful for those.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot about my country that's wicked and evil, but I'm very thankful that I still have the freedoms that I have to go. So we can't go too far. You need to have moderation. You know, there's a lot of things that are wicked and evil about our country, right. But I'm still very thankful that God allowed me to be born in this nation,
right.
To grow up in a Christian family, to grow up in a Christian home, to be able to hear the gospel. I'm thankful for those things. And how dare you try to take that opportunity away from somebody else?
Good.
You don't know what their life would be like if they moved here. You have no idea. No clue. And this is exactly what God is talking about. You know, all those people that moved to the nation, how many of them do you think moved there believing some other religion, believing in some pagan god, and then over time were influenced by the God of the Bible? How many? I'm sure plenty of them did. Plenty of them. The Bible is a story of immigration, really, is what it is. I want you to go ahead and turn to another scripture. I want to look at something else now. Go to Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. I want to get to my second point in just a moment, but right here in Leviticus chapter number 19, I want you to look at the clarity here. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 33. It says, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you should kick him out." Is that what it says? No. So they can sojourn with you. This is frustrating. I don't know if this frustrates you, but it frustrates me. I hate when people, by the name of, the Bible, and by the name of God, try to act like they're doing the Christian thing when they are just clearly contradicting the Bible. When a stranger sojourns with you, look at that. Look at it one more time. It says, and if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. You should not oppress him. That's what it's saying. You shouldn't treat him wrongly. You shouldn't mistreat him. Look at verse 34. But the stranger that dwelleth with you, watch this. With you shall be unto you as one born among you.
Amen.
And thou shalt love him as thyself.
Amen.
Does that sound like the attitude that all of these Republican Christians have? No. Not at all. Not even close. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. Why? Again, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And then he says, I am the Lord your God. Look at that. You should love him as you love yourself. You should, you know why? Because he has just as much a right to be here as you.
Right.
You're no greater than him. That's what God's saying right here.
Right.
Do you know why? You were a stranger once, now he's a stranger. There's no difference between you two. He deserves to be wherever you are just as much. No one really owns this land. There's a book, I didn't look up the verse, but there's a verse in Leviticus I just read over recently in my Bible reading where God makes a statement when they're getting ready to possess the land of Israel. He makes a statement about them when they're living in the land of Israel, and he even talks about them when they're in the land of Israel, and he makes a statement about the land, and he says that you are pilgrims and strangers in the land. And then he follows it up with something along the lines of that it, because he owns it. Because that's really the ultimate truth. You don't really own anything
right.
in this earth. God created it, and he allows you to live in it.
Right?
So, you know, all of us have the same rights. And certain people just, they develop societies in certain areas. And then, obviously, the United States says, hey, well, you have to do this to be a citizen. You have to do this to be a citizen. Well, you know, this is my land. If you want to live here, you got to go buy these. You don't own that land, really. Yeah, you have the right, of course, amongst each other. And God does the same thing where he allots certain lands to the nation of Israel. But ultimately, it's all up here to God. God ultimately owns all of it, and he's just allowing you to live in it. That's really what it is. And you have no more right to live on any piece of property, any land of earth, if you will, on this entire planet than anyone else.
Right.
Anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is.
Amen.
Now, I want you to turn, now, like I said, I'm going to switch gears now. I want to look at one other thing. Now, I want you to go to Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 9. Number 9 right here. Look at this, Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 9. It's a part of the treatment. Not only should you not mistreat them, but you should treat them well, as we just read. You should love them. So you should not only not mistreat them, but you should love them and you should treat them well. Look at some of the practical examples here. Verse number 9, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly, that means like completely, reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. So in the corners you should leave whatever that fruit is. You should leave that there, and then it tells you why. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Notice that he not only wants to make sure they don't vex or oppress the stranger, but he wants to make sure that they love them, that they treat them well. Look at Leviticus 23, 22. We'll see this one more time. Leviticus 23, 22. It says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, like I said just a moment ago, when you really look at the Bible is a book of a bunch of immigrants is really what it is. You know, God appears unto Abram at that time, before he is given the name Abraham. He tells him, I want you to come out of this country, and I want you to go to this country. That's how it starts in the very beginning. And then you can go through all sorts of examples. Like when David, I was just trying to think of some yesterday without looking them up. David had to flee to the nation of, to the Philistines. Then you have the example of when Abraham, once he's named Abraham, he has to go to Egypt. He also has to go to the Philistines one at a time. He goes to Abimelech, right? And then, or Ahimelech. And then you have the examples of when the 12 tribes, Jacob sends the 12 tribes to Egypt because they're starving. Not only that, what happened with Jesus? God commanded Mary and Joseph when he was born, I want you to flee into this other country. I want you to leave and go to this other country. You know, the Bible is just filled with people just immigrating from property to property, from land to land, just all the time. And the majority of Christians, I don't know if they just don't read the Bible, they not only look over what's going on 99% of the time in the Bible when people are moving around and you're following the story. What do you have Paul doing? He's going from country to country preaching the gospel. What if all these other countries had the same attitude that you had about the United States of America? Then you know what? You'd have a bunch of missionaries that had nowhere to go and nowhere to preach the gospel. Right. But you know why? Where this all this attitude comes from is from this pride of thinking that you're better than everybody else just because you're from the United States of America.
Right.
That's really where it comes from.
Right.
Because you think that this country or the people that live here, they're just so much greater or so much better than every other country in the world. Not a chance, buddy.
Right.
You are no different than anyone else on this planet.
That's right.
There's nothing different about you at all.
Amen.
When the day of judgment, there's going to be the rich, the poor, there's going to be everyone are going to stand before God. The only thing that's going to matter are those that are saved and those that aren't.
That's right.
But you know what? In this life, nothing makes you better than anyone else. You may have better skills at something. You may develop certain things in your life, but you have no more value than any other person on this planet. And people get this puffed up attitude, this pride of being an American. I'm proud to be an American. You know, God hates pride, by the way, Christian.
Amen.
God hates pride. I'm proud to be an American. And all these Christians that are just like head over heels over Donald Trump just drives me insane. The people that I like, it drives me just up the wall. You know, talk about build the wall all the time, right? We need to build a wall, like Donald Trump said. Donald Trump, let me just clearly say this. Donald Trump is a disgusting human being.
Right, right.
Donald Trump is a wicked, wicked, evil, evil man.
Yeah.
And this attitude of just this Republican, all the Republicans are good, the Democrats are bad, is nonsense and foolishness. There's no difference at all, period. Donald Trump was pro-abortion his whole life. His whole life. And then, just conveniently, he has a change of heart right when he's going to run on the Republican platform. Just changed my mind. And just totally flip-flops. And you know what? Literally, the whole, I mean, what was the rate in votes percentage-wise? How many people ended up voting for him on the Republican platform when that's supposedly pro-life and anti-abortion? And this guy just flip-flops literally right before he's getting ready to run for president as a Republican. The guy stood up while he was running for president and held a rainbow flag that said LGBT for Trump. And all of these stupid Christians went down there and casted a vote for this guy. Are you kidding me? And you want to talk about Republicans and Democrats being different? What is wrong with you?
Right.
They are identical.
That's right.
There is nothing different at all, period. They're both wicked.
Amen.
They're both evil. And I'll tell you something else. I'm sure everybody has all these same frustrations. But when people say to me, oh, you don't vote? No, I don't vote. Oh, you don't vote, then you have no right to complain. That comes from the foolishness of a person that thinks that they're duped into thinking that voting makes a difference.
Right.
Because here's the thing. If voting doesn't make a difference, let's say this. If voting made a difference and I didn't vote, and who I wish would have won didn't win, well, then that would be valid. But voting doesn't make a difference. And because voting doesn't make a difference, if I don't vote, or if I do vote, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And all these people are just duped into thinking, oh, you know, if you would have voted, it would have changed everything. Or if you don't vote, you have no reason to complain. It's going to be the same whether you vote, or I vote, or if I don't vote, you don't vote. Nothing matters. The system is a joke.
Right.
They're both the same. They're all on the same team.
That's right.
George Bush and Bill Clinton are best friends. Those guys are buddies with pictures taken together all the time. And Hillary Clinton is just as evil and just as wicked as Donald Trump, if
right.
not more.
Right.
They're both. Donald Trump is like the most prideful man that I've ever seen in my life. I'm the greatest. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. He's the greatest at it. I'd be really, if we were to do that, you know, I'd be really great at that. I don't know if that's impressive. If I were, you know, I've thought about doing it because I'm really great at that. I think he does the finger thing. I'm really great at that, so I've thought about doing it. Everything that he does, he is great at. He is the greatest man in the world at everything. And the guy is literally the most covetous person on the world. He is literally the most prideful person. I'm not just exaggerating. I've never seen someone just openly, I'm the greatest at everything. All the time. And I haven't watched him that much. If something's on, like a press conference or something, I'm scrolling through Facebook, occasionally I'll click on it. And he's on there telling him how great he is every single time. Literally, that happened about maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago. I was just on Facebook, I haven't seen it for 6 months, I haven't seen the guy on anything. Click on it, I watched it for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. It was actually, coincidentally, during that time slot when that Acosta guy, or Costa, whatever his name is, got in that argument. And he was telling somebody how great he was at something. He's just the greatest at everything. The guy just oozes of pride and covetousness. And the Bible's clear that the love of money is the root of all.
Right.
So a man that's covetous, that is highly covetous, is going to be a deeply, deeply dark, evil, wicked person.
Right.
And that's what he is. And the guy has uttered the most perverse words, and you have these independent, fundamental Baptist pastors standing up and trying to coerce or persuade their congregation into voting for this man. Just saying the most perverted, disgusting stuff I've ever heard come out of somebody's mouth. Filthy.
Right.
And you have these people, and they're trying to get their children to support this guy. Why don't you play that clip for your kid, let him listen to that? Right. Bet you wouldn't do that, would you?
Right.
I bet you wouldn't let him, you know, listen to all the nastiness and the filth that comes out of his mouth, but you want to act like he's the greatest thing that ever walked this earth. The guy is wicked as hell.
Amen.
He's evil, and I've been bottling this up for a while. I'm sick of all these stinking, you know, independent Baptists supporting this idiot.
Right.
He's disgusting, he's filthy, and he's evil. He's not a good person at all.
Right.
Doesn't have a good bone in his stinking body. The only thing that I like was that he didn't celebrate LGBT month this year. That's about it. I mean, the guy is disgusting, man. And you have all these Christians, even people that realize the right-left false paradigm. So, you know, the right-left false dichotomy. Donald Trump comes along and they're like, he's not a part of the movement.
Right.
You are out of your mind. And I don't care care what movement he is or isn't a part of, he's wicked. That's what matters.
Right.
That's what matters. I am not going to cast my vote. I am not going to support some evil, dark, wicked man. Period. End of story. Now I'm going to teach my children not to either, and I'm going to preach to my congregation that they shouldn't either. You know, you want to pull all these independent Baptists up there trying to, you know, convince all of their church members to all just vote Republican. It's wicked. That's what it is. Right. Donald Trump is an evil man. He's a dark man. He's just as much a part of the end time conspiracies, New World Order as anybody else. Hey, you know what? They're going to build a wall. You know, if they do, let's say, and they eventually will is my point. But if they do under Donald Trump, that wall is not only going to keep people out. It's going to keep people in.
Right.
And eventually, right. You know, the new enemy of the state will be, my friend, Christians.
That's right.
Political dissidents. People that want to disagree with the government.
Yeah.
Guess what? That wall, that's going to be keeping you in now. Not only is it going to be keeping the Mexicans out, it's going to be keeping you in, Christian.
Right.
That's what will happen. All this security that these Christians are duped into supporting, all these wicked people and the different policies that they pass, ultimately that stuff's going to be flipped around just like that. They're going to turn a switch, and all that wall that they supported to be built, you know, all the FEMA camp, all that stuff that these people are for, all the military that all these Republicans are goodness sakes about the military. It's crazy. Invade every country. Let's take this world over. And guess what? Same thing's going to happen here to you one day, buddy.
Right.
Same thing's going to happen one day to you here. This country that you're supporting, it is an empire today. It is the most strongest country in the world. And if you don't realize how wicked it is today, you are out of your mind. You know what? When that time comes, it's going to be too late if you don't realize it before then.
Yeah.
People need to realize. They need to step back and they need to look at the world through the Bible.
Man.
Instead of looking, you know, looking at the Republican Party and then wearing the glasses that, you know, Donald Trump gave them and then reading the Bible. They need to read the Bible and make their, you know, political decisions and any decision in life based upon the Bible. People say, oh, you know, religion and politics, two different subjects. Your religion should decide your politics.
That's right.
The Bible should decide what you believe politically.
Man.
The Bible should decide what you believe on any subject. God is the God of all. He created this earth. You don't have this little special area where he shouldn't be involved in.
That's right.
You know, God, he's the God of everything. He's the God of all. And he should be our primary source for all wisdom.
Man.
He should be our main source for all wisdom. Have you turned to another passage here? This is the other angle that I want to look at. So first of all, let me review quickly. First of all, we saw that we should not vex the stranger. We should not vex the foreigner. We should love them. We should care for them. And we should go out of our way to help them if possible. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 15. That is correct. I had another verse we're going to look at later in Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 15. KK, give me a water, please. Numbers chapter number 15, verse number 29. Numbers chapter number 15, verse number 29. The other point is this. Secondary point is, yes, the foreigners should be able to come here, and we should love them. We should not have these borders just preventing everyone and anyone from coming. But they cannot come here and just live however they want. They should come here. The Bible teaches that they should come here and assimilate. They should come here and follow our laws.
Right.
They should come here and they should live by the laws of the land. That's what God commanded in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel. Look at Numbers 15, verse 29. It says, "Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance." And then he says, "Both for him that's born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them." So right now he's discussing sinning presumptuously and sinning through ignorance. And he says, you're going to have one law if a person sins through ignorance. And I don't care whether it's a person that was born here or if they're a stranger. So notice that they're both held accountable by the same law. There's one law.
Amen.
For the man that is a foreigner, if he wants to come to this country, and then also for him that was homeborn, that was born in this country himself. I want you to go to Exodus chapter number 12, verse 49. I'm going to show you this repeatedly. Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 49. They should not come here and just try to change whatever country that they go to, whatever nation or whatever country that it may be. If you want to move to that country, you should not try to change their culture. You should not try to change their laws. You should not try to, just go in and just make everything totally different. You should not do that. If you desire to move to that country, then go there and follow the laws that they have implemented and that they have in place. Look at Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 49. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Notice that. One law to him that's homeborn, one law to the stranger. Go to Exodus 19. I'm sorry, Exodus 12, 19. Same chapter, verse 19. That is not the right verse. Skip that. Go to Leviticus 17, 10. Leviticus chapter number 17, verse number 10. I'm going to show you this over and over again here. Leviticus chapter number 17, verse number 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. I want you to notice that he'll be cut off from among his people. This is whatsoever man he be, whatsoever man there be, says, of the house of Israel, or of the stranger. Go over to Leviticus 20, verse 2. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stone. Now, two things I want to point out. So thus far, really quick again, a review. You should not mistreat the stranger, the foreigner, number one. Number two, not only should you not mistreat them, you should love them. You should care for them. You should help them if you can, right? Number three, what we're looking at right now, we see that there is one law for both. So if the stranger comes, he decides to come, he should not go to the country, he should not come to the United States of America, if you will, and just try to, think that he can just do whatever he wants. Follow the laws of the land that he grew up in. No, he has to come here and he has to follow the laws of the land that he, or that we have here, or if the nation of Israel, if you lived at that time, if you went to the nation of Israel, you have to follow their laws at that time. If you do not follow the laws, you are liable for the same punishment that anyone that's homeborn is given, right? Number one, what is the punishment? To be cut off. You know what that means? No, not in that passage. Being deported. That's what it would be. Cut off from among the people, they're kicked out. That's what it means to be cut off from among your people. It means you're separated from among your people. Right here is actually, like what Brother Hall said, they're killed. They're going to be put to death. So if you come to a country, you can't just go in there. You could just go to the nation of Israel and just think, I'm going to do whatever I want. All those people that worship pagan gods, when they came to the nation of Israel, they were not allowed to do that. And if they did, they were to be killed. That's what the Bible teaches. If they came to the nation of Israel and they started offering sacrifices, like this says in specific, to Molech and the fire, and they were their kids, they were to be killed. They were to be put to death. It doesn't matter whether it's a stranger. It doesn't matter who it is. They are to assimilate is the next point. Love them, care for them, don't mistreat them, right? Don't mistreat them, number one. Number two, love them. Number three, we have to understand that the Bible teaches that they should assimilate. So it's not just come and do whatever you want. You should come and assimilate. You should not come and just expect everyone to pander to you. That's selfishness in the first place. It is annoying when people come here and they don't learn the language. That's annoying. That's irritating. You should come and you should learn the language. If you want to come to the United States of America, you should not come here and expect everyone to pander to you. Right. You should not come. And you know what? We should love people and care enough about people that if they don't speak our language, learn their language and talk to them. But you know what? They shouldn't be doing that in the first place. That's a totally different story. You're just doing that because you care. You understand what I'm saying? But what they should do in the first place is learn your language. If they want to come to the United States, they should learn English first. Okay. If they're planning on coming, and I realize there are situations where they have to just migrate. Some people are being chased. They're in a communist country. People are trying to kill them. They're seeking literal refugee. Maybe they're in a position of finances where they and their family are about to die. Well, you know what? As soon as you get here, 3 to 4 months, you should be speaking English. Figure out a way. Go to the library. They're all free. You can find out something. I'm sure if you made your mind up, you could speak English in 3 to 4 months when you move here. So they should assimilate. They should assimilate to the culture. They should assimilate to the laws. They should not be given a different law or a distinct law. These are things we should understand. When this discussion comes up, and you have these neoconservatives telling you their views, are they quoting scripture? No, they're quoting Donald Trump. So you know what you should do? I got a verse for you. Let's go to Exodus 22. Don't vex the stranger. Don't oppress him. And then they got right at the end, God says, I am the Lord your God. Imagine a Christian reading that for the first time and he had an opposing view.
Yeah.
I am the Lord your God. And you know why? Because you were a stranger once.
Right.
Because you were a foreigner once. Love him as you love yourself. And here's another point that I want to make also. All of these people too as well. A lot of these, like I said, neoconservatives, it's not only them. I mean, you know, the left wing can be like this too, the other people. It's two wings of the same bird. Have you heard that before? It's all the same.
Amen.
But here's the thing. They have this attitude like it's like different, like there's like, you know, like it's an ethnical thing. They look down on them like it's an ethnical thing, like we're just white Americans, right? And that's why we're against you. But it's like when people start bringing that up, and I know I talked about this one other time, it's such foolishness. You obviously have not looked into your DNA or anything like that. Did I tell everybody that I got a DNA test and I'm 10% black? I'm 10% from Africa and 7% from the Middle East. What do you think about that? You look at me different or what? No, I'm just kidding. But the point is this. You have no clue who you are and where you come from. No idea. And we're all mixed and we all go back to two people.
That's right.
There's not a lot of diversity there, is there, buddy? Two people, Adam and Eve. That's it. But people want to divide. I had some guy on Soul Winning call me a cracker yesterday. I'm thinking, dude, you better come up with a different slur than that because you're not hurting my feelings at all.
Right.
It doesn't bother me at all. It's just ignorance. Stupid. They don't realize, like, dude, all it takes literally is like 4 generations and you don't have a clue that both of your parents that you came from, your progenitors, were pure white as snow. Seriously. One of them marries, you know, a fully appearing black person. Then that mixed child marries a fully appearing black person. Now they're 3/4 black. You know what I'm saying? Then another one. And then by 1 or 2 more generations, you don't have a clue that both of your parents were white 4 or 5 generations ago. That's all that it takes.
Right.
And do you know how many ancestors you have when you just go back a few generations? It's exponential. It keeps multiplying. So I guarantee you that you have every person in this room, I would guarantee, if you were to go back, you know, let's say 10 generations to be safe. There are multiple people that derive from Africa, multiple people that derive from all over. It never mattered. And in the nation of Israel, this is my point, it didn't matter. Being a Jew was the nationality, it was not the ethnicity. It had nothing to do with their skin color or anything of that sort. The best proof is, take people to Esther at the very end of the book of Esther, and it says that many became Jews. If it was something ethnically, that would be impossible. But you know what they did? They became a part of the nation. So you know what those were? Those were strangers and foreigners that decided, I want to be a Jew. I want to be a part of that nation. You know what? They're treated just like them. I don't have the other scriptures to turn to and to go to because I don't want the sermon to be too terribly long this morning. But they are to inherit land among whatever nation that they choose.
Right.
Or whatever tribe, I'm sorry, that they choose. Any tribe that they choose within that nation, they can go and inherit land in that. That's what the Bible teaches. 2 or 3 generations go by, same point. Their children, 4 generations go by, their offspring probably don't have a clue where they came from. Probably didn't have a clue that they were, whatever, a Midianite or whatever. That's another example. Moses fled to Midian when he left Egypt. They don't have a clue. Have any idea. Ethnicity is a joke and it's stupid.
Right.
It is the most ridiculous
Amen.
Thing.
Around
the, and the older that I get, the more ridiculous I see when people make these big deals of black, white, whatever. It's so retarded. You are so ignorant.
Right.
I spent a long time studying my genealogy. I started realizing, like, and they go everywhere. there. You have to like really focus on one line. You can't, because then it will break around and go everywhere. You have no clue. So ethnicity is a joke, and that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about nations. We're talking about a country. And you, I believe personally, in an ideal nation, which would be Israel, you should not have borders. You shouldn't. That's my belief. Now, that's radical. I don't care. It's because it's the Bible. That's why it's radical with most people. I don't believe that you should have borders. I believe that people should be able to freely come and freely go. Now, when the stranger comes, what does it say? Don't mistreat him. Not only that, don't mistreat him. You should love him. But he should assimilate. He should not just come here and act and be however he wants, try to follow the laws of his land prior to that. Now, I want to give you a caveat. I want you to go to Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20. Now what, let me ask you this question. What if here in the nation of the United States, we don't have borders, right? Let's say if we didn't. And let's say that an entire country, I'm just going to give you an extreme example. This is what we're going to look at right now. Came, and then this entire country was coming up and approaching unto our land. How would we react in that case? Let's look at Numbers chapter number 20, verse number 14. I want to derive 2 points to end on here right before I give you my last verse of conclusion. Numbers 20, verse 14, this is when the children of Israel are traveling and almost to the land of Israel, the land of Canaan at that time. Look at verse 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel. So he sent ambassadors. Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. Verse 18, and Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink out of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore, Israel turned away from him. Now, why did Israel turn away from him? Who sent them there in the first place? God. God was the one that said, I want you to go. I want you to speak to the nation of Edom. I want you to send an ambassador and tell them that you're going to go through. He's the one leading them, right? Now, I want you to notice how God even respected the laws of their land. How God, when he approached unto their borders, how he sent an ambassador in. He didn't just say, we're just going to carry on through here, just tear on through with an entire nation of people. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So this is the point that I want to end on. Obviously, a caveat or an exception would be to have discernment. If there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that look to be maybe attacking us, well, that's an exception. Or could possibly be attacking us. God desires us to have discernment and to have wisdom, right? That's different than someone seeking refugee. And that's not what, I'm not talking about these supposed caravans, you know what I'm talking about, that's been going on in the recent news and stuff. These people are not, they're not a part of it. And number one, I don't know what's true because they're a bunch of liars. The media lies about everything. You can't believe anything that they say. I'm not talking about just 100 people, 200 people, 400 people just that are legitimately seeking refugee. What you see is you see an army, the nation of Israel, approaching unto the land. And notice how God is respectful unto the nation. He sends an ambassador. He speaks to them. And they say, I don't want you coming to my land. And then God just goes around them. Now there's obviously, you know, later on, God comes back and he deals with not Edom, but another land, another nation that tells them no, right? And that's the exception because it's the nation of God and they're disobeying God's commandment. But here with Edom, notice how he still respected their laws. And this is the point that I want to end on. What I preached to you this morning was the ideal example of what would be the perfect way in which a government should operate, right? And that is the way that we should treat the stranger and we should treat the foreigner, and the way in which, you know, we should love them and the way in which they should operate when they immigrate, right? But let me say this at the very, very end. You know, today we don't live in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. These still would be the best laws to implement, but we need to abide by the laws of our land. And if someone comes here illegally, they are still sinning against God. Let me say that. Now, I don't know their situation, and they may feel like that's, which it's not, you're still sinning against God. You should never make it okay to sin against God. I don't know if somebody's chasing them and they're about to die, literally. And I'm sure there have been people like that, and they just flee illegally into the land anyways. But in the New Testament, if you look in Romans chapter number 13, and the Bible tells you clearly that you should follow the ordinances of whatever country that you live in. And so when you go to a country, if you go there legally, let's say, you should follow their commands. But you know what else? If someone wants to come to this nation, they should try to go through the visa, the green card. They should try to do that because they should keep the ordinances of this country. I disagree with the way in which people are treated through the United States and a lot of the policies and things like that. But even still, we live in the New Testament. We do not live in the nation of Israel. We should respect the laws of the land that we live in. It doesn't matter what nation you live in. So we should keep that in mind. Keep the ordinances of your country. Keep the laws of the land, even when they're wrong. And the only time that you don't is if they're trying to get you to disobey God with one of their laws. If they say don't read your Bible, you better still read your Bible.
Right.
If they say don't pray, you better still pray. If they say don't go to church, you better still be here. But we're still going to have church. I promise you. Now, last passage, I want you to turn to 1 Peter 2. This is it. We'll end. 1 Peter 2. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 13. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed." And it says this. This is all those of faith in Hebrews 11, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I want to read here in 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. Notice it says that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 1 Peter 2:11. Peter writing, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Notice those exact same statements made to both people. You know why? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. I am a Christian. This is what I want to end on. Far before I'm an American.
Amen.
I'm just a stranger and pilgrim in the United States of America. That's all. I'm only here temporarily. I'm going somewhere else.
That's right.
I'm not going to be here permanently. I may have citizenship in this country, but I'm here temporarily. And my true citizenship is the citizenship of Israel. And this is what I want to end on. My last point, and what most of this is about, I don't want people caught up into this garbage of mistreating foreigners. That's the main thing I want you to walk away from this sermon. Is this. You were at one time, like the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter number 2. You were at one time an alien and a foreigner of the nation of Israel. And of the commonwealth of Israel. And God showed mercy. And God loved you. And you know what He did? Even when you were a foreigner and even when you were a stranger, He loved you and treated you right. And He gave you salvation, which was free. And He gave you mercy and grace. So you know what you need to do to those that are foreigners here? You shouldn't knock on somebody's door that's maybe Hispanic. Or knock on somebody's door that's maybe, you know, a lot of people around here are Bosnian. Maybe Albanian or, what is the country?
Albania.
Albania. From Albania. Right? No, I knock on those doors all the time. You shouldn't treat them any different than you treat, you know, someone that's homeborn. They're no different. You know what? God loves them just the same as He loves you.
That's right.
He does. You're not any more special. And I don't care if you're from the United States or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. So you should treat those foreigners the same way that God treated you when you got saved. And you weren't of the nation of Israel. And He extended mercy free to you. And you know what? There was no border. Was there? It was just, hey, You know, it just, you know, there wasn't anything like waiting process. You got to do all, you know, all these requirements or anything, right? It's one thing. Just trust me and you can come. One step, right? Like Jesus says, I am the door, right? There's only one step. All you got to do is just take that one step through the door, just through faith and trust in Jesus, and it's free. And he had mercy, and he loved you and cared for you. You should treat the foreigner the same way. Let's not get into this ridiculous, and it really is a neoconservative thing. It's sad that most Bible-believing Christians are the ones that get caught up in this the most. And it's not even the hard left liberals. It's neoconservatives that get caught up into this attitude. It's anti-biblical, and we as Christians should not do it. And I don't care what the parties say. Most of the time, if you're lockstep with a political party, you're in error anyways. I'm lockstep with the Bible. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear God, even when the world's confusing, even when even most Christians are wrong about something, we can always go to your word and clarify things for us. He tells us how we should treat foreigners, dear God, and how we should love them. We're thankful, dear Lord, that we were strangers and that you gave us an opportunity, dear God, to be a part of the nation of Israel, and that it was nothing that we had to do. It was trust you. It was because of your mercy that we were allowed, dear Lord. We ask you that you would wake up Christians and get them out of this foggy mess that they're in, where they don't even realize that they're not even believing the Bible anymore, that they're just, you know, following a Republican platform or whatever it may be that is contrary to your word. Help us never to be duped by that or any other area of life. We love you and bless our church. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.